Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, thank you. How many know as you give, you're giving to the Lord? So don't just see the name on the check or whatever, you picture yourself giving it to God. Amen. That'll help your faith, because He said He would meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. He said those who give will receive, and it'll come back multiplied to you. So don't just think in terms of, I did my good deed. I showed up, I gave something, and now the church can have electricity for another week. And no, you gave to the Lord. We're going to have electricity whether you give or not, okay? And people say, why would you say that? Because I'm not begging you for your money, because God is my source, you're not. See, it just takes the whole manipulation thing right out of the equation. So, well, I better do this. If you are in kids' church, since Mike forgot, you could go. So, we gave him a mic and everything. He would. I love Mike. Mike, if you don't know this, but Mike, when I first got saved, I was 19. Mike really mentored me. I mean, I was a mess, and he had walked with the Lord a lot longer than I had, and he helped me out a bunch. And so I've known Mike for a long time. Well, are we doing all right? Did you have a good fourth? Praise God. Thank God for freedom, amen, in America. People say, well, it's going away. Well, if you stand up and do your due diligence and vote like you should, you'll be all right. Amen? All right. Well, we're talking about, imagine that, the power of a transformed mind. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is one of my favorites. And while you're turning there, I'm going to get my creepy illustration for you. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5 is where you want to go. We had a great vacation last week. We had Heidi and I got a take off. And you know what's great about being able to, you know, as a pastor, you have responsibilities that you take care of, and you're thinking about things and stuff like that. We have such great leadership around here that we didn't even think about it. They took care of everything. It's great. I love it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to be concerned, will it get done or not? We've got faithful people that serve. So Heidi and I are very grateful. So thank you very much for allowing us to take a little time. I know I've been in the ministry a while, and I know pastors that never leave. They can't do anything because they're concerned that something's going to happen, something's going to go wrong. But we don't have that issue around here. So we're very grateful for that. So thank you to all the leaders, and for those that were here and a part of the service, thank you. And we'll keep moving forward, amen. How many think pastors should have a break every once in a while? I heard a quote one time. Mary had a little lamb. It would have been a sheep. This was the joke, though. It joined the Baptist church and died from lack of sleep. So, but you wouldn't have to put the Baptist, or I'm not against the Baptist, but you put anybody in there. Sometimes ministers get worked a little hard, but by the grace of God, we shall do what we're supposed to do. Are you in 1 Thessalonians? I suppose I should get there, huh? Chapter 5. Okay, we're talking about the mind. And this scripture will really set this up. I'm going to run through some scriptures here, so I won't make you turn to all of them, but if you want to jot them down, you can look at them later. These scriptures will help you understand how you're made up as a person, and then the direction that we're going, and why it's important to have a renewed mind. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole," now look at this, "spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now what I want you to notice in that verse is that the Apostle Paul breaks you down into three parts. Do you see that? You are a spirit first, you possess a soul, and everybody sees your body. Does that make sense? Paul put it another way in another passage. Peter said it this way too, but he talked about your body as a tent. Okay? Now, we just went camping, and I didn't stay in a tent because I prefer not to. But I'd rather be in something more, you know, solid. But so maybe I didn't go camping. Maybe I just went and stayed at a, yeah. So anyway, but people sleep inside of a tent, but that does not make them the tent. Does that make sense? But are they inside the tent? But are they the tent? No. So your body is your tent. Now think with me. Because primarily, you are first and foremost what? You are a spirit. Jesus said this. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when you were born again, the part that changed was not your outside. If you were tall before you received Christ, you're still tall. If you were short, you're still short. I'm sorry, it just... You know, there's no guarantee that you're going to grow when you get saved, all right, physically. if you were, okay, if you had lots of hair when you got, you still got it when you get saved. That doesn't change. The part of you that changes is what the Bible refers to as the heart, which is the spirit of man. Does that make sense? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You say, I've heard these verses before. I know, but we don't got it yet. Until it really starts making a change in your life, you'll realize when a truth starts dawning on you from the Scripture, because you'll start to get excited about it. And you'll start to face problems and situations. You'll start to face financial decisions. You'll start to face marriage issues. You'll start to face retirement issues or business issues. You'll start to face raising children issues from the perspective of the promises of God rather than from the perspective of your natural mind. You'll begin to look at things from the perspective of God's information rather than the world's information. Does that make sense? And when you start doing that, you know that the Word of God is taking root inside of you. Because you're not just looking at the situation that you're facing. You know, like sometimes people are like, who am I going to marry? Who am I going to marry? Well, when you begin to look to the Scripture on what a good wife is or a good husband, you start to run every person that is a potential candidate in the field against what God's Scripture says. And when you do that in every area of your life, that's just one example. When you do that, you know the Word of God is beginning to dominate the way that you think. It's beginning to have entrance into everyday decisions in your life. And you'll begin to experience the life of Christ. Does that make sense? So 2 Corinthians 5. Remember, you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Verse number 17. I got to get there. Verse number 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, people will get born again and they'll look at their body and go, I'm not different. That's because this isn't talking about your body. Amen. This is talking about your spirit. The inside of you, how many remember getting saved? You went, oh, there's life, there's joy, there's this sense of I'm alive. And really, it is eternal life. People oftentimes think eternal life is when I go to heaven. Wrong. That's just the end game. Eternal life is now inside of you.
That's right. Amen.
Come on. It's something to be happy about. The Scripture actually talks about, and you can go back and listen to the podcast that we have on the website if you want, where we talked about being born again and what it looks like. The Scripture actually says that you have a new nature, and that nature is God's nature. Inside of you now. You don't have to wait to get it. You got it now. And the part of you that goes on, you know, sometimes people struggle over death and things like that. You know, somebody dies and we're so connected to the body. If you would have read on in that Psalms, Mike skipped the verse, but it talks about in there that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And people automatically think, well, I saw the body. It didn't look very precious. I know, it's because you're looking at the tent. You didn't see the Spirit go to heaven and be with the Lord. They're not lost. You know, if I had a family member who moved to Texas, which I did, I don't wonder about my younger brother. I know where he's at. He's in Texas. I don't know why, but he's in Texas. Oh, I know why. He got married. That's right. She's from Texas. That'll cause you to move to Texas. He's a Dallas Cowboy, or she's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I pray for her. I intercede. Not really. But I don't wonder where they're at. Don't wonder where your loved ones are at. If they're born again, they're with the Lord. So, just peace of mind there. But here we see that all things are made new. So where did that take place? That took place in your spirit. It didn't take place in your mind, your soul. And it didn't take place in your body. It took place in your spirit. Now listen to me carefully, because this is a key point. From that point on in your life, if you're not discipled correctly and taught correctly, it will affect the rest of your Christian life. There is a whole portion of Christianity that boils down to, I got saved, now I'm waiting to die to go to heaven, and there's no help here on earth. But if you look in the Scripture and you see what the Apostle Paul brought to us in the epistles that he wrote and in the New Testament, you'll see that God did not just save you so that when you die, you can jump over hell and make it to heaven. He saved you and put his life in you so that heaven could affect you now. I am not preaching to you a message of the gospel that says you're never going to have any problems. The message of the gospel is everybody has problems, but the storms of life come to everybody. But the one who had his house built on the rock, what happened? He stayed put. And the one that was built on the sand, he washed away. Does that make sense? So that's what's taking place. This is why church is so important. I just wrote a newsletter out. I don't know, some of you may have got it. And I talked about the importance of being in church. Why is that? Because I need the tithes to go up. Now, we already went through that. Okay? You should give because you're giving to the Lord. But listen to me. It's not about that. Well, I need good church attendance numbers. Otherwise, the denomination I'm ordained with won't ordain me anymore. No. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the ministry gift that is inside of us. And that gift was given for your maturing. And inside of this arena and how we have church and what we do and in fellowship and in agreement, there's this process that takes place where you're hearing the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, through the gift that is in me or whoever we have speak, then teaches you how to mature in what has been given to you in Christ. Does that make sense? I know you've never heard it like that, but this is the point of life in Christ. This is about God's love for you and the benefit of growth spiritually that will come to you. I was at a birthday party yesterday for a great aunt of mine. She turned 100. 100. She's still walking around, and she's a little hard of hearing, but... And my dad stood up, and her husband owned a ranch. And they used to take the teenagers in the family that were getting into trouble and send them to their ranch over the summer. That's a good idea. And they'd send them to that ranch, and then Aunt Winnie and her husband, Bruce, would just include them in the ranch and farm work and disciple them and get the spirit of stupid out of them. Know what I mean? Yeah, teenagers. It's not their fault. They're brain damaged, okay? So, but they would disciple them. You know, out in the middle of nowhere, you can't go anywhere, you know? So you do what's available to you. And they would disciple them. And then at night, my dad said, because he went out there for a while and for a summer to work, and you learn good work habits. I mean, everything about what they did was, this is God's land. This is God's creation. We're going to steward it. We're going to do what it's supposed to do, and we're going to provide out of it for others. Not only spiritually, but then naturally, you know, food, things like that. And so they would go work. And then at night, my great aunt would read would have my dad read Watchman Nee books to her, and then they would discuss what the guy was teaching from the scripture. And that's where my dad ended up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. But out of that, what took place? There was a change in thinking, a change in understanding, a change in vision. You've all heard the statement, perception is reality. How you see things will determine how you react to them or respond to them. If you look at a situation outside of the words of God, that mountain can feel like it's going to crush you. But if you look at it from the perspective of God, according to Mark 11, you will do what Jesus did. You will say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. But if you don't have the perspective of the word in your mind, if you haven't washed your mind with the word of God and then got your actions and words in line with that, then those things will seem daunting to you. They will feel overwhelming. That's why I love the worship songs that we sing. I mean, think about how great is our God. Why is that so important to sing that? Because what you're doing is in your mind, you're expanding the vision of God bigger and bigger and bigger. And the problems in this world that we face today become smaller and smaller and smaller. If your perspective about God is that, according to the scripture, the Old Testament, that He holds the universe in the palm of His hand, then where are you in the midst of that, and how big is your God? He's huge. I mean, huge is not a good description. I don't know that we have a word that could describe Him like that. We try. If He made it all, and then people go, well, why doesn't He do something? No, that's not the question. The question is, why don't you cooperate with Him? Come on. Say amen or oh me. Okay? But if I tell you what you want to hear, what your emotion wants to hear, then how am I helping you? A good minister will just preach what God said and let the chips fall where they may. Some people don't like that. You know, we have churches that just change their doctrine with everything, whatever the current political wave is. We're not to follow politics like that. We're to follow the Lord. Amen. Don't preach on politics. Well, I'm not gonna, but I just preach the word. And it'll get right in the middle of all that stuff. It really will. So keep that in mind. So you're a new creation, but where did that take place? It took place in your spirit. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Or actually, just write this down. Proverbs 23:7. It says this, "For a man, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The NASU version says this, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." So however you see yourself, thoughts, the BBE, which is the basic English Bible, says this, "For as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he." Now the word heart is a little tricky in the Bible, and you got to kind of look at the context of what's being said to understand it. But the word heart doesn't mean spirit necessarily. Heart is like, have you ever, like they talk about the center of the watermelon is the heart of the watermelon. Well, it's not just the flesh of the watermelon. There's seeds in there. There's a lot of things. Well, when you look at heart, it could be soul or spirit. Now, remember in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we looked at this, that you have a soul and a spirit and a body. If you could kind of picture your soul and your spirit, the Bible says in Hebrews that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide what? Soul and spirit. And then it gives you an example. It says just like you have a bone, and inside that bone is what? Marrow. So the marrow is the spirit, the bone is the soul, and the meat around, flesh. Does that make sense? That's a natural picture of a spiritual truth. How many know Jesus did that all the time? The Word of God is a what? Seed. He's giving you a natural example of something that is a spiritual truth. Okay, so if you could picture your soul and your spirit, so in this verse, what do I know? Where are thoughts? They're in your mind, right? They're in your soul, your mind. Your thoughts are there. So what he's saying here is, for as the thoughts of your soul are, so are you. Do you see that? You ever seen this happen? I remember because I had the blessing of going through junior high and high school at a very high insecurity rate, which almost every teenager does. Okay? But you ever, I remember this in school, girls would you know, do everything they could to make themselves look pretty, right? And just makeup, you know, all the stuff. You know, if the barn needs painting, you paint it. Amen. So if it needs two coats, you put on two coats. So, but anyway, do everything you can, get the right clothes, you know, all that stuff, okay? And then they would come to school and go, I'm ugly. But you just did all this work. And then, you know, you'll find a guy that was, it's their duty to make sure that girl feels that they're pretty. And like, no, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. And they could be beautiful. But as they think in their heart, so are they. Does that make sense? This is why it is vital that you think in your soul according to God's word. Because you'll see yourself that way. Did you know that the presence of God, the life of Jesus in you, is very attractive to other people? Joy is attractive. Depression is not. It's true. Yeah, I mean, you just naturally, if you're not smiling, if you just got a frown on your face, people will look at you and go, uh-oh. You know what I mean? You ever worked with somebody? Yeah, and they wore their mood all over their face? It shows who you are. But as you think, so are you. That's why the Lord said it's important that you renew your mind. Okay, one more verse, and then we'll move on here. In Proverbs chapter, you can just jot this one down if I can find it. Proverbs chapter, what was I just in? I was in 23, right? Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23 says this. It says, keep your heart, or you could say your mind, with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word heart also means mind. But it says this in the Living Bible, above all else, guard your thoughts, your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. They influence everything else in your life. Your thoughts will influence everything else in your life. Have you ever thought someone was mad at you and they weren't? Have you ever had somebody say something to you and in your mind you assumed that they had this motivation when they said it? And really, they didn't all along, and you got the issue resolved, and really, it was just the thoughts in your mind that messed up the situation. Have you ever done that? I have, many times. Why is that? Because my thoughts influence everything else in my life. Your thoughts influence everything else in your life. If you see yourself a particular way, the interesting thing is that if you go to how many have ever been to like a sales conference or like a motivational speaker will go to somewhere and they're, you know, they teach people how to make millions of dollars in a short amount of time. What is the one thing that they harp on over and over? You need to see yourself selling. You need to see people buying from you. Why is that? Because they figured out that the brain is connected to everything else in you. So when you're confident moving in, confidence begets confidence. Confidence will then be exuded from you to another person. And they'll go, this person really believes what they're selling. Have you ever been asked to do something and you really didn't believe in it? It's hard. It's difficult. It makes it difficult. Why? Because your mind is not in line with what you're trying to get across. Well, the same is true in your Christian walk. Your mind has to be in line with how God has made you, what He has made you to be. And when that happens, then your life gets in line. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll put it to you like this. This will help you. You can go to Romans 12. I was going to do one more verse, but I'll just wait on it. Romans 12 is where we left off last time. And then we can get to my creepy illustration. The foam-headed man. You can buy heads at Hobby Lobby. I bet you didn't know that. They have a couple of kinds. If you're needing one. You know what I do? just to give you a picture of my humor. So my front door has, my wife's rolling her eyes. My front door has a side light. I stick this at night so it faces the window out. So when people walk by, they go, oh. Can't see. It's awesome. And you know, I've never seen anybody look at it, but in my mind, it's funny. Okay? Okay. Where was I going with all that? Where you were going to Romans 12. Oh, yeah, I know where I'm at. Okay, thank you, Lord. So yesterday, I mowed the lawn and weeded it and made the kids pull weeds. And so I have an underground sprinkler system for my my yard. And I have 34, I think, sprinkler heads in my yard. I got a pretty good-sized yard. And they're the big ones. They're the they're called MaxiPaws, impact heads. So they're the ones that, you know what I mean? It's not just a straight stream. And so I have six different zones that I put in for my sprinkler system. Okay? So in all these zones have electronic openers and closers that are in the ground that we put in. So when it's my first zone runs for 15 minutes, and when that time's up inside there, because the computer's in the Rainbird computer thing is in the garage, it turns off that zone and then it opens another zone, and then those sprinklers start. Well, sometimes because we have dirty water that runs our sprinklers, it's ditch water. Now it comes through a filter, but that doesn't stop all the sand and the dirt. And where we live, the dirt is very clay, so it's really hard when there's no water on it, and it's really sticky when there's water on it. Like, you can get your shoes covered with mud, and it is raining, yes, just so you all know. I'm watching everybody go. It's raining. Okay. So the mud will just stick to your shoes. It'll just stick, and it just gets on and doesn't let go. You know what I mean? Well, that mud sometimes will get inside those openers and closers. Okay. Well, you say, what does this have to do with the mind? You'll see here in a second. So I have to open up that switcher, take out this, it's like a rubber membrane, it has a spring on it, and clean all the mud out of there and then put it back together so that membrane can open and close according to the zone. Does that make sense? And so if it gets clogged up with stuff, it stops the flow of that water. Well, listen to me carefully. You're a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. If your soul gets stopped up with things that are not the pure word of God, it's filled up with the junk of the world, what happens is it can stop that valve from working like it should. And that's why you have some of the problems that you have. You know, I was raised around, you know, I was raised Foursquare, which is a Pentecostal group, and then I was in the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal group, and I love the Pentecostals. I guess I are one, but I love them. I love them a lot. I believe in laying hands on people and seeing them delivered. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating. I mean, we've watched that happen here, okay? But sometimes, in groups like that, it can become just a habit of, would you pray for me and make this problem go away? How many notice some of them don't go away? You know why? Because I can't put my hands on your head and make your mind change. There's only one thing. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Romans chapter 12, I'll show you this right here. Paul says this, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says this, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a transformation that needs to take place in your mind. So your mind did not get changed when you got saved. We know from the scripture that your spirit is the part of you that got saved. And I could give you other scriptures besides 2 Corinthians 5. We just don't have time to go to all of them. So your mind didn't change. So if you could picture it this way, if this is your spirit, this is the part of you that got saved. This did not change. So what needs to take place then? You need to have a transformation. Now, a transformation simply means you're taking these thoughts and putting them... I wish I could do this to people. You know, dump them in. Put them in here. And these thoughts line up with what's already taken place in here. Come on, do you see that? That's why... prayer is a part of your life, of course. We're not diminishing prayer. But this is the process of how you get the life of God in you to out here. You line up the valve. You clean out the valve. Then the valve can open, right? Then the life of God, the water of God, the nature of God can come into your emotions. It can come into your body. Does that make sense? And that's what took place. Now, this is not taught in a lot of churches. Does that make sense? This is not... yes, that picture. This is not understood. But this key right here will change your life. It will take your Christianity from, oh yeah, I'm going to get there someday when I die, to, Lord, what are we going to do today? You won't have to depend on your work environment to determine how you feel. You can have joy on the inside. And you can bring and change your work environment. Does that make sense? Why? Because you begin to have an understanding. My mind's being transformed. Who's on the inside of me? Go to Galatians chapter 2. This scripture. I've studied some of these things for years. I haven't lived them always the way I could, but I have had some success in these areas. Paul said this, you're renewing your mind to who's in you. So Paul put it this way, this is Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Who lives in you? People say, well, that was the Apostle Paul. He's an apostle. He could say that. No. Paul didn't write the Bible for his benefit. He wrote it for yours. I mean, it did benefit him. But the information, the revelation that he received from God, in fact, he said this in Ephesians, I have written this down so that you might understand what I understand, so that you might walk in what I walk in. What you see in me, the victories that you see, the joy that you see in me, the life that you see in me, even though I'm going through these trials and things, the reason why I can write that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus is because I understand that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And I've renewed my mind to line up with my spirit. Do you know what professional athletes have done? Why they're on a professional level? They've learned to look at obstacles as opportunities. What have they done? They've learned that when problems come against me, I'm going to find a way around this thing. And they do it in the sports world. They do it in the business world. They do it in all these areas. But in the church, oftentimes people have been taught, oh, you just can't do anything. It's all up to God. Just roll over. Maybe He'll get you out. Maybe He won't. Is that a scripture? Because I haven't found it yet. I've read through a couple times. I have not been able to find it. Now, there are a lot of people that are seriously confused and will take a lot of the Old Testament out of context and make it say something that it's not. That it's not saying. But if you look at Paul's life, I'm not telling you you won't have challenges. What I'm telling you is that God promises that He'll take you right through them. Amen? That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Paul didn't get whipped and stoned and beat and all that stuff. But he still kept on going. James said what? Count it all joy, my brethren. Yeah, but you don't know how bad it is. I don't think James cared how bad it was. See, in our minds, this is American Christianity, okay? This is where we need to have our minds transformed. In James' mind, do you realize who James was writing to? Come on. These Christians were being put in Colosseums and fed to lions. Not just the dads, the families. And what did James write to him? He was so insensitive and unfeeling. See, this is a problem that we have in America right now. So insensitive and unfeeling, he said, count it all joy whenever you fall into trials and tribulations. What? Don't know. This is sad. Sad. Apparently, James didn't know that. Why? Because he has his mind in line with eternity, not in line with the temporal. Listen, we've done the tape measure demonstration before. Okay? How many remember the tape measure? They're like, I don't want to remember the tape measure. Some people don't want to. Okay? The average lifespan is, what, like 78? Something like that. It's in mid-70s. If you take a tape measure out and run it out 78 inches and then pick your age, that's about how much time you have left. How long is this life? The Bible says it's what? A vapor. It's a puff of smoke. In the Passion Translation, it said it's like when you're in cold weather and you breathe out. How long does that breath stand there? You can see it for a little bit, right? And then it what? Just disappears. That is how long your life is in comparison to eternity. Now, if you're born again, who cares? Who cares? You're going to live forever. Hoorah! You know what I mean? You're going to live forever. So, in light of eternity, how tough is the situation? It's a vapor. It's a vapor. You know, my grandparents have been, well, the last grandparent that I had that passed away was 91. And I think that was, how many years ago? About 5 years ago. You know, I don't ever wonder where he's at. In fact, I've heard testimonies of people that have died and gone to heaven. And there's a lot of them. They're medically recorded. If you want to look them up, you can. Some of them are great. Just make sure you run them through the Bible, okay? That's all I'm saying. But there's a lot of them. I mean, there's so many documented things. It was just, I watched one recently about a doctor, a neurosurgeon who did not believe in God. He was an evolutionist, even though there's no proof. But he was an evolutionist. And he died. And he had been trained on what happens when a body dies. And people often say, you know, what happens is there's chemicals in the body, there's all these different things that take place, and there's all these hallucinations that take place, and you go back through your mind and memory and stuff like that. Well, this guy got some sort of infection in his brain, and his brain did not function. So it killed the idea that his brain, you know, the medical science world couldn't look at what he was in and go, yeah, it was because of this and this and this, because none of that was functioning. And yet he went to heaven and saw his sister who had died before. The Lord took him to heaven, and they asked him what it was like. He said it was like pure love. Well, God is, hello. You know, people are like, it was like light and love. He's the light, and he's love. I'm like, how hard can it be? Buddha never claimed that. Don't say that. Why? There are no gods. They don't exist. They're dead. You don't believe in universal religion? No. I believe in one God and many devils. Well, that's not politically correct. See for earlier statements in the message. Okay? This is not about politics. It's about truth. Man will always come up with something else to mess us up. Because they're being motivated by somebody. And it's not God. So you're going to live forever. This person said that had died. This person had already died. And then there was a person on earth that died. And it was their relative was already in heaven. And when they saw their relative, the relative looked at him and said, you're already here. So in eternity mindset, if a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, this is going to trip your mind. Okay? But just hear me. You're actually on the earth for about 2 hours. God time. Okay? Just go home and figure it out, all you mathematicians. If a day is as 1,000 years, you're actually on the earth about 2 hours. So if one guy said, if you're halfway through life, you have about an hour left. If you're a little over halfway, you got about 45 minutes. Okay? But if you look at life from an eternal perspective, how long are you here? Not very long. But where will you be forever? If a day is as 1,000 years, you got forever. And so people say, well, I never got to tell my loved one that I loved him as much as I want to. Well, if they're saved, you'll get to tell them again. Just go give them a hug and tell them, you know, I was dumb on earth. I should have told you I loved you. I love you. Make sense? They'll be there. Even some of the ones you don't like. Sorry. Just the truth. God's more merciful. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at a couple of these. I know Mike went over this last time, so I don't have to. He preached part of my message, which is awesome. Okay, so we're transformed by our thinking. How does that take place? It takes place by the Word of God. Okay? So I'm not going to go into that again. If you want to hear more teaching on that, you can go to the website and pull up I think it's the fourth message on this that I did. And you can listen on what transfiguration, what takes place. All right, this thought I want to get across to you today, finish with this. Where do thoughts come from? Where do thoughts come from? My first point was thoughts come from God. And under that you could put from His Word, which is the main source of His thoughts. His thoughts are from His Word, okay? Are from His Word. And I was going to have you go to Joshua 1:1-9. But Mike preached that, so I don't have to. I can totally skip that point. Thank you, Mike. But there is a lot there. And if you really look at those verses on what God told Joshua after Moses had died, you'll begin to understand God's thoughts for you. He clearly lays out in those words how to make your way successful, prosperous, and how to be strong and not be full of fear. Okay? So Joshua 1:1-9. If you look at that, you can read over it and you can go, okay. Now listen to me. It's even better for you because you don't just have God with you, you have Jesus in you. Okay? I've said this before, but it makes the point very well. It's one thing for you to be sitting next to somebody. It's another thing for that person to be inside you. Sitting next to somebody is close. Inside somebody is really close. You can't get any closer. Okay? So technically, you know, like people are like, I don't feel God. Technically, He's inside of you. Remember Galatians 2:20. What did He say? It's no longer I who lives, but who? Christ who lives in me. Well, why don't I feel it? Again, illustration. This needs to be renewed to what's inside you. Amen? This needs to be in line with this. And when you have your mind in line with your heart, you will experience more of God in your soul, listen to me, which is your mind, will, and emotions. If you don't feel Him as much, use your mouth to renew your mind, read the Word, renew your mind, and you'll get in line with Him. Does that make sense? Okay. So the primary way those thoughts come is through His Word. Another way that they come, and Mike, I believe, talked about meditation, is from angels. Go to Luke chapter 1. Now, this is not normal, but I wanted to put this in here because I want you to be aware of angels because they're real. And they are sent, the Bible says they are sent to minister to you because you're an heir of salvation. Do you know you have an angel? God assigned an angel to you. Some of you may need more than one. Judging by people in traffic, okay? Other drivers on the road. Not me, just other drivers, okay? Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, look at this, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. You guys know what story this is. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." He told her to rejoice. Notice he didn't say be afraid. Okay? Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled and at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." See, older women, there's no safety. Okay. "And this is now the sixth month for her." I'm just kidding. "Was called barren." So she was barren, and then she got... Okay. "So, for with God," what? "Nothing." How many things with God? "Nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. So what is the angel doing to Mary? Changing the way she thinks. And her thinking is getting in line with God's will. And she responds and says, "Yes, be it unto me according to your word." There's a lot you can learn from Mary. As you're reading through the scripture, if your natural thinking, your natural mind goes, "How could that be?" You need to stop and go, "No, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I'm here. Do it your way." Does that make sense? Operate in this situation the way you want to. "Lord, how do you want me to respond?" And you get your thinking in line with your God, and when you do that, you give access to God to your situation. Yeah. And when you do that, it's supernatural. People will do things and they won't know why, and it's because God's influencing the situation. You'll be protected, you'll be taken care of. Do you see that? So this angel brought the word of the Lord to her. Now, Let me qualify all of this with this. Do you have an angel? Yes. Could that angel appear to you and speak to you? Yes. Is it normal? No. Most of the encounters that you look at where angels appeared to people, even, you know, sometimes you read the book of Acts and it's like, you know, the whole city was healed and all these 5,000 got saved and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and all this stuff's going on. And this person saw a vision and this person saw this and that. Are all those things true? Absolutely. They're God. You believe God can't appear to you. God can do whatever he wants. He could take you from here to him. He could just show up. He could send an angel. Come on, do you see what I'm saying? He could just give you a picture. He's God. Okay? Is it the normal way? No. What's the normal way? I'll just put it to you like this. 99% of the time, probably, yeah, God has spoken to me out of this when I'm reading. In my devotion time, or just in my heart while I'm reading, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. That is absolutely it. When I first got saved, I had dreams that I was preaching. I mean, like, I felt myself, I would see myself in a suit. I didn't own a suit. Maybe I'm not doing it right. I don't own a suit. No. But anyway, I didn't own a suit. I didn't have a tie. I didn't have any of those things. And after I got saved, I would wake up in the middle of the night out of a dream where I saw myself ministering to people. It was weird. But I was dense. You say, what do you mean? I was really ignorant. I didn't, not that I was stupid. I didn't know God called people to preach. I didn't know he said, "Yeah, I want you to do this." I didn't know you could hear God and have him speak to you and then he tells you what to do. I didn't understand any of it. So God chose a method that he has in his word to point me in the right direction. Does that make sense? Okay? So in this case, mostly you're going to find your answers in the word of God. But there are times that an angel may minister to you. It doesn't mean you'll see them. I know people that have. I've never seen an angel. Okay? It doesn't mean you'll see, but they will minister to you. Angels are where you are. I heard a minister put it to someone this way one time. She said, somebody asked her, because she was traveling by herself to Israel to do some ministry there. And somebody asked her,
Oh, you're going to Israel. Yeah. Oh, are you going by yourself? She goes, no, I never go alone. And he said, what? Well, my angels are with me. The Lord's with me. See, now that messes with people's minds, but where should your mind be? It should be there with the Lord. It shouldn't be natural with the world. I'm never alone. I'm never lonely. Why? God's with me. He's in me. And my angels are with me. And I need angels. Then, you know, if you need thousands, he'll send them. He'll help you. But you have to have your mind right. People, now, don't go look for angels. Where is they? Where are they at? This is faith, okay? If you see them, fine. I know people that see more than others, but I don't really mess with it because God said in his word he would do it, therefore he will. Amen? Okay, from the Holy Spirit, last point, John 14:16. The Lord will speak to you. He'll help you from the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says this, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. I love that descriptive word of the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Okay, so you have the Spirit of truth with you. So God's thoughts will come to you through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse number 25 and 26 says this, these things I have spoken to you, being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. What will he do? Teach you. And what else will he do? He'll bring to your remembrance all things that Jesus has said to you. Isn't that great? People say, I'm losing my mind. Don't lose it. Just have the Holy Spirit bring it back to you. You know what I mean? Okay? The Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance. People are like, well, I can't even find my glasses and they were on top of my head. That's because you weren't listening to the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost knows exactly where they're at. Amen? Okay? All right. John 15:26. These John 14:15 and 16 are all on the Holy Spirit. Says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Notice the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself. He talks about Jesus. Amen. Come on. I need some of you to hear this at least. There are people that think they're having these wild conversations with the Holy Ghost, and it's all this weird stuff, and it's not the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost doesn't testify about himself. He testifies about Jesus. Okay? So he'll point you back to the Word. Jesus is the Word, right? John chapter 1, verse 1. He is the Word made flesh. Okay? All right, John chapter 16, verse number 7 through 15. And I'm just going to skip down to verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he what? Hears, he will speak. There again, he's not saying what he wants to say. He's saying what the Father tells him to say. He's testifying about Jesus. Amen. And he will tell you things to what? Come. The Holy Spirit knows the future. So stop reading the horoscope. My sign is, get out of your sign. Burn that sign. Allow the Holy Spirit within you, who knows everything about everything, to show you. Well, how do I do that? Pray, listen. Sometimes I'll pray about something and get an answer 2 days later. Is that because the Holy Spirit's slow? No, it's because I'm slow compared to him. Okay, we got to clarify that. Okay? I'm slow compared to him. So it says this, verse 14, he will glorify who? Himself? No, Jesus. He doesn't glorify himself. He glorifies Jesus. There's so many good things in here, I could just teach on it forever. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, just jot it down. The Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God. What does that mean? That means that your Spirit's here and the Holy Spirit's here and the Holy Spirit's going, yeah, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Does that make sense? He bears witness with. He tells you, yep, you are. You're God's child. You're God's kid. Stand with me. You're God's kid. Does that make sense? So those are two ways that your mind will be transformed, that your thinking will change. Those are two ways. Besides the meditation and stuff that Mike talked about last week. I was left up there. So besides those ways, besides God's Word, which is the main way, it can come through an angel. And it can come from within you by the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this. An angel is not always, it's not normal. The Word of God is normal, and the Holy Spirit within you is normal. It's consistent. You know what? Let me help you with this. I'll make it real simple for you. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Is it peace? Does it line up with the Word of God? Maybe I should put that one first. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we're making decisions like, you know, man, I don't know if I should buy this house or not. Okay, I can't say, turn over to John 16, verse number 30, and it says, Heidi will buy the house on 655 Kenya Street. It doesn't do that. So what do you say? What do you do then? I get in the situation, I pray about it, and I go, okay, Lord, do I have peace about this? Is this right for me? And I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me that way. There's a lot of teaching that needs to happen on that, and we're going to do that this next school year. Not calendar year, but school year. Teach on the Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. But God will transform your thinking through His Word, primarily. Through the Holy Spirit, primarily. Sometimes through supernatural things, spectacular things, whether it be an angel or a dream or something like that. And so we need to be aware of that. And as our mind gets transformed to who we are in Christ, then it affects every other area of our life. If you're distressed in a situation, figure out where your thoughts are. Okay? Why was it when Paul and Silas were in prison that they sang praises? They've been beat up. They're in the inner prison. It's not a nice place. It's not the Hilton. There's sludge everywhere. They're bleeding. What do they choose to do in that situation? This is what we're going to talk about next week. How do you get your mind under control? Because you can do it. They praised God. Why? Because your mouth can force your mind to think a certain direction. Come on. If you ever feel down, all day say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I'm not saying you have to go like march in front of, you know, around your coworkers and stuff. Just under your breath. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord is my strength. God's working in my situation. God's a faithful God. He loves me. I've got joy. His joy lives in me. Greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. You see that? It will change the way you think. Amen? You can do it. It's not hard. It's an easy thing to do. It's just you don't feel like it. But you'll have to learn to walk by your faith, not your feeling. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And the just shall live by faith. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, Your Word is awesome. I'm excited about Your Word. Your Word is working in our lives. We're experiencing life in Christ. Lord, we declare with You that our minds are being transformed. We declare like Mary did, be it unto us according to Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You're helping us so much. Holy Spirit, we just read, You bring all things to our remembrance. I just ask You, as these people go this week and as they go, navigate through their week, as the enemy attempts to distract them off of the love of God for them and the peace of God and the promises of God for them and the strength of God for them, that You will bring all things to their remembrance. And they will be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we thank You for today and Your goodness, Lord. You're so good to us. We bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll be back here next week. Enjoy the rain out there. If you're a first-time visitor, please bring your form over to the desk back here. We'd love to just get you a shirt, even if you're not coming back. Like if you're visiting, we'll advertise in your state. We don't care. It's all good. All right. Bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.